Welcome to this week's Ripped from the Headlines. As suggested by someone last week, I'm just going to close the door here first. Because we're doing a slightly shorter shiur due to the following shiur by Rabbi Spitz, we're going to try to focus just on one topic. So here we go. Here's that topic. Companies make room for the office power nap, recognizing need for rest. By Cassandra Sklarsky. The Canadian Press, February 10th, 2019.
What is power nap?
Power nap, we're going to talk about it. It's a short nap in the middle of the day.
Ah, to sleep.
Yes. Snoozing on the job isn't just permitted at Bob Valles' software company, it's encouraged. The Toronto boss of Eventmobi describes himself as the only CEO that promotes people to sleep at work, insisting the policy boosts productivity and company morale. To that end, Eventmobi's open-concept waterfront office features a private nap room where workers can grab a few Z's if they feel sluggish, or just get some time, alone time in a dark space if they have a headache or don't feel well. It's just from my own experience, Valles says of his reasons for setting up the quiet space. As with any other tech professional worker, you work really odd hours and your brain just sometimes shuts off. Especially after lunch, you just can't work. And I've been to other offices where people sleep at their desk and it's really frowned upon. If you can't work, what's the point? The benefits of adequate sleep are well established, but Valles' willingness to address tired staffers in such a direct way is relatively rare. Still, he's not the only one. Google Canada spokesman Aaron Brindle says nap rooms can be found in the tech giant's offices around the world, including the Toronto office, where a wellness space for nursing mothers can be reserved for taking a break or taking a nap. Another space at their engineering headquarters in Kitchener, Ontario, features two high-tech recliners with special spherical privacy visors for extra-tired employees looking to grab some shut-eye. Meanwhile, management consulting firm Accenture says its three-floor Toronto office features a wellness room where staffers can snooze. That's in addition to various inclusivity initiatives, gender-neutral and accessible washrooms, a room for nursing mothers, and a meditation-slash-prayer room with a foot-washing station. That is an interesting discussion in halacha, set prayer rooms. Anyways, it's a phenomenon that seems primarily centered in technology and marketing sectors, says Alina Oceanic, Director of Talent Acquisition, Diversity, and Inclusion at Randstad Canada. Oceanic knows of at least five Randstad clients with nap rooms and credits their existence to a new generation of workers who increasingly blur the line between their home and work lives. Millennials are spending much more time than our parents did at work. They also work crazy hours, different hours, and we want to adjust the work style and the balance to their needs, she says. That includes a lot of development shops, technology shops, where maybe there are crazy deadlines, or people like to work in the evenings and have a nap during the daytime. That's why we see employers actually adapting the workplace and creating a dedicated space to take a nap. She believes it's more than just a fad, insisting they are becoming more and more popular as an added tool to recruit top talent. Oceanic says Randstad began testing its own version of the nap room, dubbed the Recharge Room, after an employee committee suggested the measure as a way to address mental health issues. It has a couch diffuser with essential oils, a salt lamp, mats for stretching, and a couch for resting and napping. There are a lot of people that are not declaring disability or mental disability, she notes, and we are working in a highly sales-driven environment where there's lots of stress. So we really wanted to create a space where people can relax, have a nap. For job seekers weighing multiple offers, a healthy workplace can win them over, she adds, believing many workers want more than just a good salary. Millennials and the younger talent and the younger generation are looking more for the rewarding career and self-development rather than just the pay. Universities, too, are recognizing that some of their students are exhausted by long commutes, awkward class schedules, jobs, and personal commitments. 2 years ago, the student union that jointly serves Humber College and the University of Guelph, Humber, created two sleep lounges for its two Toronto campuses and then doubled the number of beds at one of them last September. The expanded lounge now has 12 beds, while the second hosts 8. Together, they've drawn about 4,000 users this school year, well surpassing the 3,000 that dropped by during the entire school year in 2017-2018. Says the union, known as Ignite. We are a commuter school, and a lot of our students, they don't go home until maybe 8 or 9 hours after they've had a whole day on campus, says union president Monica Hosla, who represents students at both schools, which includes a satellite campus for the University of Guelph. Over at Toronto's Centennial College, the student union bought 4 so-called energy pods by the U.S. company MetroNaps last August, as spokesman Brad Beamish. One has been installed next to the cafeteria, another in the library. Their many features include a retractable privacy visor, speakers that whisper relaxation music, and pre-programmed relaxation guides, wake alarms, lights, and vibration controls. These are not being offered during this year, by the way. There were basically people jumping in them before they were finished being set up. The demand was almost immediate, Beamish recalls. Productivity expert Lisa Belanger is glad to see such initiatives afoot, noting that other countries seem to understand the need for work-life balance far better than Canada. She points to Finnish sauna culture and the Swedish coffee break known as fika. Europe is doing better on this, for sure, with valuing vacation, respite, and weekends, says Belanger, a postdoc researcher at the University of Calgary whose work includes looking at effective break strategies. Historically, labor breaks were introduced to boost efficiency, she notes. These days, they are limited in the belief that they slow us down. Coffee breaks were designed in the industrial era so that it increased productivity, reduced safety concerns, and injuries and errors, says Belanger, also CEO of the consulting firm ConsciousWorks, which looks at how brain health, nutrition, and sleep affect performance. It's gotten to the point where we kind of skipped over them. We put our coffee in a to-go mug and just get it in us as quickly as possible and forget that our brain requires breaks.
Today for me is the news on the telephone. And the school also, they're thinking about make breaks during the classes. Today was...
Interesting. Very interesting. So I was going to focus more on the sleep element, not as much the break element. And first take a look at sort of, you know, how much... Does the Torah care about sleep? What does the Torah expect us to sleep? Certainly the Torah demands that we take care of ourselves properly and stay in, you know, excellent physical shape, as we've seen again in a number of the other shiurim that we've had here. But one was very interesting is Rambam in Hilchos Deos, in both, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Dalet, in source number one, Ho'il ve'heyos haguf bari v'shalem midarkei Hashem hu sharei. Keeping your healthy body, it is in the ways of God. You obviously can't understand or have any knowledge of Hashem if you're sick. Therefore, you should avoid things which damage your body, and you should always act in the proper ways that are healthy and that make your body stronger. And here they are. And he gives a list. Eating, drinking, and what's the next one? Eventually, Hayom v'halayla chafdalet sha'ot. Day and night are comprised of 24 hours. Dai lo le'adam lishan shlishan, shu shmone sha'ot. A person should sleep. It's enough for a person to sleep. One third of this, which is one third of 24, is 8 hours. Right? V'yu b'sof halayla k'deshiyah mitchilat shnato ad shet. And you should time it so that, you know, you're waking up with sunrise, you know, etc. Fine. And then you're going to get up just before sunrise. He feels that that was beneficial in his day. Obviously, again, the sun sort of, sunrise was a time when people would be getting up. Now, it's very interestingly, is we have the Rambam, who's on the one hand, you know, sort of the ultimate rationalist. But people actually look at this Rambam, and they put in a, you know, a little bit of cute... hinting and sowed, you know, what we would call a remez maybe, or drush, or whatever it is, to a pasuk in Eov, actually. I don't know much about Eov, but it says there, ki ata shachavti ve'eshkot, now I would be lying and be quiet, yashanti az yanuach li, I'll be sleeping, I slept, and therefore it will be restful for me. And says v'chomad anach, which is written by the Chida, on this pasuk, and I saw this in various other sources as well. The early authorities, in source number 3, I'm going to read my translation. The early authorities gave a hint to what the Rambam wrote, that there are 24 hours in a day. And the Rambam writes in different places throughout his Mishnah Torah that you should sleep for 8 of them. 8 are designated for learning Torah and doing mitzvos, and 8 are for working, 8 are for earning a livelihood. Right, and this is a gem of the Rambam's that he says elsewhere in Mishnah Torah, and he's very interesting things to say. So he says, what's the hint to this? He says this allusion, if you look in the Hebrew, it says, "Ki'ata shachavti veshkot, yashanti az yanuach li." What is the gematria of the word az? Aleph is 1, and eight. Zion is 7, so the gematria is 8. So yashanti az, I slept for 8 hours. That's the hint from this pasuk, and he says, wait, it gets better. Right, we know the pasuk of, right, He looks at a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua that it says also, what are the eight for masa umatan, for business? It says, ki az tatzliach. If you learn Torah, then you will be successful. Az is the word used for then. Aleph Zayin again, eight of tatzliach, hatzlacha, in business. And finally, the eight of learning Torah and doing mitzvot are ve'az taskil, so to in that pasuk, and another eight, ve, and aleph and zayin, another eight, taskil, elud. These are their words of the rabbis that sort of gave this hint. I thought this was very, very cute. On the other hand, you know, we don't necessarily all need to live our lives by this. If you look in the Bayer Hetev, he says, you know, and he quotes this sort of discussion, I think he even quotes, you know, Yashanti Az, but what he says is, Hakol lefi mashehu adam. Don't think that, you know, it's a rule. The Rambam Paskin, you have to sleep 8 hours a day, so you have to sleep 8 hours a day. If you don't sleep 8 hours a day, you're going against the Rambam. So it depends on what a person needs. Some people may need more sleep, some people may need less sleep. Some people will say, listen, I sleep 7 hours a night and I'm perfectly productive, and when I sleep eight, I find myself wasting that extra hour. Okay, so then you shouldn't be doing that. You should be taking care of yourself. That's the main goal that the Rambam's trying to bring across for us. And therefore, he says, just make sure that that's what you're doing. And that's how you're actually conducting yourself in terms of halacha.
There's ages and stages as well. I think in, throughout your life, you need
certainly
amounts of sleep.
Absolutely, 100%. That's right on.
A different study that teenagers don't operate very well in the morning, so you should start school later.
Yeah, I used to have this discussion with my students.
Yeah.
I always wondered what would happen if that was the case. Truth is, it would be fine with me, but more of the impetus for me when I was discussing this with them was like, I'm coming from, you know, yeshivas where, yes, they have shacharis early, and that's true, but they usually go a lot later than public schools do. Public schools can end, right, 3 o'clock, 3:30. And I was always like, you know, what do you do now for the next 10 hours? Because these people are up till, you know, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
I said, said, you know, wouldn't it be just easier if school started at 10 and ended, you know, maybe 2 hours later? And probably. So.
They talked about it here in Canada.
I think they had like a school or two which actually tried it. And, you know, it apparently was successful, but that's just what I remember hearing. I have never actually seen any evidence of that or any studies, but it's an interesting topic nevertheless. But then, if you wanted to learn all that Chazal have to say about sleep, is you got to look around various places in Maseches Sukkah. There's a lot of separate comments about naps and sleeping that come in Maseches Sukkah. Anybody know why, by the way?
Mitzvah to sleep in the Sukkah.
Exactly, mitzvah to sleep in the Sukkah and napping. So anyways, we're just going to go through a few of the related comments of the Gemara, of the Talmud, on sleep and see how they might relate to the philosophy of napping during the day. The first source is from Sukkah 53a. It's obviously not in order of the pages in Sukkah, but we can read the English just so, again, people can follow along. It is taught in a Braita that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya said, and this is source number 5, we just turned to page 3. I know it seems fast, but we have, again, a little bit of a shorter day than usual, and the first chunk is just pure reading English. So here we go. It's on the bright. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya said, when we would rejoice in the celebration of the place of the drawing of the water, we did not see sleep in our eyes the entire festival. Okay, says we didn't sleep for the whole Yontif of Sukkot, when we would rejoice in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is the celebration of the place of the drawing of the water. How so? In the first hour of the day, the daily morning offering was sacrificed and everyone came to watch. From there, they proceeded to engage in prayer in the synagogue. From there, to watch the sacrifice of the additional offerings. From there, to the synagogue to recite the additional prayer. From there, they would proceed to the study hall to study Torah. From there, to the eating and drinking in the sukkah. From there, to the afternoon prayer. To the daily afternoon offering in the temple. From this point forward, they proceeded to the celebration of the place of the drawing of the water. The Gemara wonders, is that so? But didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, one who took an oath that I will not sleep 3 days, one flogs him immediately for taking an oath in vain, and he may sleep immediately because it's impossible to stay awake for 3 days uninterrupted? Meaning we have even a halacha that's based on this, that one can't, you know, avoid sleep for 3 days. Obviously, this is not possible. Says the Gemara, rather, this is what Rabbi Yehoshua is saying. We did not experience the sense of actual sleep because we were merely dozed on each other's shoulders. In any case, they were not actually awake for the entire week. So yeah, they used to take a little nap here and there. But the Gemara says, that's not even considered real sleep. So much so that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya says, we didn't sleep the whole Yom Tov.
Can we also say something about Yaakov not having slept for 12 years when he was in the...
Yeah, in Shiva Shem Vever, yeah.
And we understand similarly, it doesn't mean he didn't sleep at all, it's just he didn't have...
Correct, he fell down asleep over his Gemara, yes.
He was a mother, it doesn't need to sleep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yes, we do say they didn't sleep. I don't think anybody believes that he was not a human being at any point in time. Yeah, we'll go on with that. Okay. So, on the one hand, we see sort of like napping is not real sleep. That's sort of the impression that we get from here. On the other hand, you can argue from here and say, well, it was just on each other's shoulders, but sitting lying down. So what makes something real sleep? So actually, this is a long discussion in Sukkah there on Daf Chavav. The end of Amud Aleph, beginning of Amud Beis. Rava Amar, Rava says, Ein keva l'shena. Neither with regard to Sukkah, nor with regard to phylacteries, which was a discussion there in the Gemara, as to whether or not, you know, people could wear phylacteries during the day and during the night and during their naps, not during their naps, as, you know, people could become impure in different ways while they were napping. So he says, you know what, there's no such thing as keva l'shena, he says, substantial duration here in the translation. You might say that this is no set, you know, yeah, there's no set, something that makes it significant, I guess. Taking a brief nap outside the sukkah is prohibited because there's no concept of substantial duration with regard to sleep, i.e., there is no halachic difference between a brief nap and a longer lasting sleep. Depending on circumstances, sleep of any duration can be considered substantial and is therefore prohibited outside a sukkah. Okay, so that's something to know, even though achilat arai is permitted outside a sukkah. Well, again, however we choose to define that, not that someone shouldn't eat in the sukkah if they can, but you have technical permission for shinat arai, we say it is not permitted outside the sukkah, any nap, according to this opinion here in the Gemara, would have to be in the sukkah. Now, there are other opinions, you know, which differentiate between shinat arai and shinat kefa. That's later on in the Gemara. V'kama shinat arai, how much is, you know, again, a small, temporary, so to say, nap? Kedei hiluch mea ama, the time required for walking, 100 amos. That's not very long. I don't know how long that would take. I didn't look at the actual technical halachic definition for this because we're going to see the next Gemara, which we will look at from the halachic side of things. And says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav says, Asur le'adam lishan bayom yoter mishinat hasus. A person is prohibited from sleeping during the day more than the sleep of a horse.
Is this on Shabbos or any time?
The Gemara says, it's prohibited for a person to sleep during the day more than what a horse sleeps. It doesn't say what days of the week. We're going to talk about the halachos of this, how this actually comes down, l'halacha, and we'll talk about Shabbos within it. But the Gemara says very clearly, how much is a horse's sleep? V'kama she'na tasus. Asks the Gemara, the next three words, how much do horses sleep? Okay? Says the Gemara, shitin nishmi, 60 breaths. Okay? One.
2 minutes.
Now, how long is 60 breaths? That, as we're going to see, is quite a debate that we're going to see later on. But let's look at the continuation of the Gemara. We're actually approaching Purim. One of the main discussions on Purim is whether or not there's a requirement to get drunk on Purim. Right? And there's a story in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes first the line of Chayav Inish Lebesume Bepuraya Deloyada Ben Araharm Lemorach Mordechai. A person must get drunk on Purim. And following that, the Gemara tells the story. Anybody remember the story?
One killed the other.
And one, correct. One killed the other. He comes back to life.
And
they wanted to have a party. And he said, no, thank you. I don't need to be killed and brought back to life again. This is one time was enough. Right? Come Rav Avishach Deler Abzera. And some look at that Gemara and say, because we see the story right afterwards, that shows that this was not something that was good. Because what happened was they got drunk and this terrible story took place. Therefore, we see the Gemara reject such a conclusion. Our Gemara is going to be subject to the same debate. Because we've just said you can't sleep this long during the day. Amar Abaye. Okay? Abaye said, Shnaste demar kidarav, udarav, kidarebi, udarebi, kidadavid, vidadavid, kidasusia, udasusia, shishnitmi. Abaye quotes, a comparison of the different people that they would sleep all less than 60 breaths. And here's what happened. Abaye himself, Havanayim, would sleep during the day. He wouldn't sleep for 100 amas worth of walking. He wouldn't sleep 60 breaths. He would sleep the amount of time it takes to walk from Pumpedisa to Beikuvi, which was a pretty significant amount of time, apparently. And listen to this. Kari Ale Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef read the following verse about Abaye, and he said to him, Ad matay atzel tishgav, matay takum mishnatecha. How long are you going to sleep? When are you going to arise, you lazy person? Right? So therefore, and we see Rav Yosef considered this inappropriate, presumably because Abaye was going against this ruling. On the other hand, you know, we have Abaye, a great Amora, sleeping for a long length during the day. And it's very interesting to see Shulchan Aruch in two different places. On the one hand, okay, let's take a look. I'm actually going to skip to source number 8 next, before source number 7. Says Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, Simen Dalet, the fourth simen in Shulchan Aruch. David Hayan Yizhar Shel Elishan Shiti Nishmin. David was diligent not to sleep 60 breaths. Kedei Shelo Yitom Tam Misa. In order they shouldn't taste the taste of death. Why? Because going to sleep is considered tasting the taste of death. We know that this relates to how we say, Elokai Neshama Shenatata Bi Tehorahi Atavrata. Exactly, all of that God returns our soul to us. Modani Lefanecha Raicha Chazarta Bi Nishmati. These are all things that were sort of, it's as if our soul goes away for a little bit. And that happens at 60 breaths, apparently.
Don't you say it's like 1/60th of death? Is this 60?
So 60 in general is a number the Gemara likes to use. Sometimes it's associated with exaggeration. Sometimes it's associated with measurement. It's hard to say.
Sleep is 1/60th of death.
So I have heard that as well. I don't know what the source for that is. It could be, a very reliable source. We also say a similar source about visiting an ill person, right? It takes away 1/60th of their illness. So this was a measurement that was commonly used by Chazal. I don't know how it may apply here or not. I don't know that it has to do with the 60 breaths, though. Because as soon as you hit breath 61, now you're 1/60th towards the way to death. I don't know exactly. But anyways, Shulchan Aruch here says, what does he say about people? Doesn't say anything about people. He's talking about King David. He says, King David made sure not to sleep that. Okay? And then you have, by the way, Haggah, which is the Rama speaking, Rav Moshe Yisraelis, Uvigamara Perakaya, Shein Mashma, Dedafka Biyom Haya Nizhar. He says, by the way, the way he understands this is that David was only careful about this during the day. It wasn't at night that he made sure not to sleep 60 breaths. It was only during the day. And this is this back and forth and whatever. Obviously, that has tremendous implications if we were trying to emulate David. I don't think there are many people that could, you know, not sleep 60 breaths, you know, at different times at night. You'd have to wake up, you know, every however long it is the 60 breaths are. But, you know, certainly that's an extended issue. And here Shulchan Aruch just says David would be careful about this. Doesn't say anything about people. But if you look later on in Aruch Chaim 231:1, Im e'efshar lo lilmod below shinat hatzoharayim yishan. If it's impossible for one to learn Torah without sleeping in the afternoon, take a nap. Uvilvad shelo ya'arichba. So long as you don't take an extended nap. Why? She'asur lishan bayom yoter mishinat hasus. It is prohibited to sleep during the day more than a horse's sleep, which is wachu shitinishmi, which is 60 breaths. So here we see Shulchan Aruch paskins this halacha. He says it's prohibited for a person to sleep during the day more than 60 breaths. So it's a little bit interesting. On the one hand, he seems to say this is like David HaMelech's chumrah. On the other hand, he brings this down as halacha and says, you know, but if you needed to learn, that's okay. So we'll try to look now, really for the rest of the time, at some of the halachos that pertain to this. Actually, halacha lemaisa is quoted by some of the different mefarshim. We're going to quote a Mishnah Berurah and a Bir halacha. And we'll also try to read through an Aruch HaShulchan. I did not translate that for the sake of space. Also, again, we've got a pretty short session today. So I think by the time we get through these three, we'll certainly be running right up against the clock. Now, The Mishnah Berurah, commenting on that Shulchan Aruch that we just saw, okay, in Shulchan Aruch, this is source number 8, 416, says, Hesigu alav ha'achronim, delo nimsa sham kein begemara rak al ha'amoraim, aval David ba'atzmo gam balayla hayan izhar. Okay, the Gemara asked, the Achronim asked that this wasn't found in the Gemara, only on the Amorayim. It wasn't said about David even at night, as we said from the Ramah. V'nafka mina kol ze ledidan, and obviously there's a practical difference for us, right? Shebal nefesh yachmir al kol panim b'yom. For us, what should be the halacha that we follow if we're going to be stringent about this matter? And here again, he's looking at his stringency. Someone on a special high level, they might be stringent in this halacha. And therefore, we need to know, is this during the day, during the night, you know, if we want to do this. However, now he notes a whole bunch of halachos that are important. Ve'ein Shabbat bichlal zeh. Shabbos is not included. You want to take a Shabbos nap? Sleep. Sleep on Shabbos is, in fact, a good thing, as we're going to see. Ve'ein lekaman b'sivin reish lamed aleph sif aleph. Dimi efshar lo limod b'loshin shinat zaharayim mutar li shan me'at. Avalo ya'arich ba'ayin sham. And he quotes us the second Shulchan Aruch that we said. Ve'ayin sham od. And he says, look there as well, which actually is the continuation of the Shulchan Aruch. I did not quote the whole piece for you. But he says, you look there as well, shegam ze lo tiye kavanato lehana'at atzmo. This should not be with the intention of enjoying. Ah, what an awesome nap. Oh, that was great. I enjoy napping so much. No. Rak la'avodato yitbarach, it should always be again for the service of God. And therefore, and also, ve'ayin b'machatzit ha'shekel, shekatav d'inyan ha'sheina b'yom, talur lefi mashihu adam, ukfi ha'torach l'avodato yitbarach. And so too, see the machatzit ha'shekel, and this is his final word here, that says, machatzit ha'shekel is a commentary on the Magen Avram, one of the earlier commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, and he says, you should, really, it depends on, you know, the person themselves, and also, again, how much energy they may need. You know, to study Gemara sometimes requires a lot of brain power, and if you need that little power nap in order to do that, that's great. This really follows exactly what we saw in the article, right? You've got people working at all hours late of the night, up on screens, this, that. Sometimes you got a headache, you got to go to sleep. And that seems to be what the halacha is in this regard. Interesting, though, if you look in the Bir Halacha here, he does realize that many people are going to be machmir for this based on what Shulchan Aruch writes. You know, later on, in Aruch Chaim 231. And the Bir Halacha tries to flesh out what exactly is Shita Nishmi. David used to take 60 breaths, right? Rabu bo hadeot. The number, there are many, many views, many, many opinions on this, b'shiur zeh, on this length of time. Yesh omrim dehu gimel sha'ot. Some say it was 3 hours long. Where do you get this from? It must be really slow breaths. I don't know if horses, you know, breathe really slowly. The truth is, people, when they sleep, their breathing slows down like crazy. And, you know, I don't know if this was a calculation, but what's the proof that it was 3 hours long? Very simple. Viraya mehade ha'arizal hayayashen b'shabbat bet v'gimel sha'ot. It says the Arizal used to sleep on Shabbos 2 or 3 hours. V'yesh dochin, and some people, you know, they disagree with this. They say, that's not a proof that the Arizal used to take a 2 or 3 hour nap. D'shani talmid chacham b'shabbat de mitzvah le'aneg ha'shabbat. Especially for a Talmid Chacham, meaning that what the Bir Halacha is referring to here is that it's a special mitzvah for someone who studies Torah all week to sleep on Shabbat. That's sort of his day to rest and relax. Whereas for other people that work all week, we associate Shabbat with extra learning. So they're not supposed to sleep as much as, let's say, a Talmid Chacham may. And therefore, it's a mitzvah for the Talmid Chacham. So when the Arizal was sleeping, it wasn't against Halacha, it was following Halacha. And therefore, you can't bring a proof from the fact that he used to take these long 2 or 3 hour naps as to what the length of time of Shita Nishmi might be. Okay? Ve'od, says the Mishnah Berurah, furthermore, in the Bir Halacha here, Eino Muchrach Klal. Says, also, it doesn't prove anything. Teshema Haya Neor Kama Pe'amim B'toch Shinato. Maybe he would wake up every once in a while. Meaning, even if it's not going to be 3 hours long, let's say it was 20 minutes long. So maybe he woke up 3 times every hour. Right? And didn't sleep for that length of time. We don't know. And he wouldn't sleep 60 breaths at one time. V'yesh omrim, other people say, du yoter mechatzi sha'a. It's slightly more than a half an hour. Okay, maybe that's what Shita Nishmi is. V'yesh omrim du shiur me'at. Some people say it's a tiny, actually, it's probably two shiur me'at yoter mishlosha minut. It's actually slightly more than 3 minutes. Okay, so 4-minute nap is too long. Alkein bal nefesh yachmir lefikocho, and therefore, bal nefesh, again, someone who is particularly, wants to be pious in this area, should be as stringent as, you know, he can. If he can be stringent, great. If he can't be stringent, that's fine. I see the recorder's battery is flashing a little bit, so hopefully the recording makes it all the way through. If not, the next thing we're going to discuss now is the Aruch HaShulchan's opinion. He has actually, he notes something very interesting about the contradiction that we had between Shulchan Aruch, and as to whether or not this is actually going to be the Halacha Lamaisa. He doesn't really address the Shulchan Aruch so much. But anyways, he talks about this Halacha and his, you know, in his world, what would his psak be? Vihine HaRambam, this is source number 11. I'm going to read the Hebrew and translate again. I apologize for not putting on the translation, but I didn't think it justified another page here. Vihine HaRambam lo hevizek klal. The Rambam, notably, does not bring this Gemara of Asur LaAdam to sleep more than 60 breaths during the day. Vitamo pashut. The reason is simple. Sha'arei abaye ni'im harbe. Midikari alei Rabbi Yosef ad matai. Says, right, we looked at that next story in the Gemara, and we see Abaye went to sleep for a long time, so who are we to say we're so machmir like that? Obviously, we don't accept halacha, just like, as we said, some people will say by Purim. The story after, right, immediately following, it shows that that's not the way we actually paskin the halacha. Okay? And from the fact that Rav Yosef said, you know, you lazy bum, what are you sleeping for? Obviously, we see it was a long nap. It wasn't, you know, a 5-minute power nap. Mihu al kol panim shamanu de'ein halacha kein. And then he goes through, is it halacha, is it not halacha? Says, however, whatever the case, we can see that the halacha does not follow this. Dizehu pshita denayim yoter mishiti nishmi. Says, it's obvious that in that case he slept more than 60 breaths. Uvaruru shizehu tamosha la Rambam shit mitzeh. This is obviously the reason as to why the Rambam omitted this halacha. Ubivadai binyan kazeh hakol lefi mashihu adam. Okay, and certainly, again, in this case, he says it depends on the person, it depends on the circumstances. You can't make generalizations for this. V'gam mimasechet Avot Paragimel, yesh raya lazeh. And he quotes a very interesting Mishnah in Avot Paragimel, which people show as, you know, having sleeping in and naps is a bad thing. But he says, yesh raya lazeh, there's a proof to what he's saying. Ditnan hatam that we learned there in the Mishnah, shina shel shacharit v'yayin shel tzahorayim motzim et ha'adamin ha'olam. Sleeping in the morning and drinking in the afternoon are terrible things. They take a person out of this world. Dibashena shel shacharit over zman kriyat shema. When you sleep in late in the morning, you're going to miss saying Shema. Right? Aval shena shel tzaharayim lotnan. It doesn't say these bad people who take naps in the afternoon. It says the bad people who sleep in the morning. So sleeping in the morning, you're right, is a bad thing. You're missing kriyat shema. But sleeping in the afternoon, the Mishnah doesn't feel that necessary to mention, because you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. Go and take your nap in the afternoon for whatever you need. And if that's going to be more than Chitin Nishmi, so be it. Obviously, it wouldn't say you should just spend your time taking naps. That's not a good use of your time. But it's not Aser. And he continues. Okay? V'chein ra'inu l'gdole olam shehayu yishanim b'yom kesha'a o'shtayim. Tikach hutzrichu l'ficha l'ishutam l'fiha nagatam. Says, you see many, many gedolim that used to take naps. If that's what they needed, because, you know, that's what they needed. They needed to learn, they were weak, whatever the case may be. It's not a problem to sleep a length of time. He's assuming, obviously, that it's a shorter length of time, Shita Nishmi, which, again, seems to fit with, you know, the literal interpretation of 60 breaths, however long that may be. But he says, you don't even need to pay attention to this. Problem, though, that he raises. Ah, Hatur v'ashulchan arach pasku kein. Problem is, the tour brings us to halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha. Umikol makom divrei haTur yesh liyashvam. He actually brings a fascinating explanation of what the Tur says. Vizel lashon haTur. Okay, and this is what the Tur writes. Achar shegamarsi udato yachzor lilmod. After you finished your meal, your afternoon meal, your lunch, you should return to your learning. V'imi efshar lo lilmod b'lo shinat tzohorayim. And if you can't learn, without sleeping in the afternoon, someone here needs sleep. Yishan, you should sleep. Uvilvad shelo ya'arich baharbe. So long as, again, it's not an extended nap. Garsinan bisuka, and then he quotes the Gemara in Sukkah to say, Shitin nishme abaye havanayim, kariyale Reb Yosef, etc. at kan l'shanon. Then he cites the Gemara in Sukkah, which we mentioned earlier, with the halacha, and that Abaye used to sleep longer. So he says, how are we to understand this tour? The Shulchan Aruch, who writes that it's prohibited, seems to be following exactly in the footsteps of the Tur. So he says, no. Ulefize lo pasak she'asur lishan yoter mishitin nishmi, He says, if you look carefully at the words of the Torah does not write that it's prohibited to sleep more than 60 breaths. All that he writes is, Ela shelo ya'arich baharbei. Klomar she'ishan harbei sha'ot kibalayla vaday asur. Says you shouldn't take an extended nap, meaning don't take your night's sleep during the day. Don't go to sleep for 6 hours during the day because you're bored, right? And therefore, right, imkein torato matay na'asid, when are you going to learn? V'achar kach hevi hach tisukah lashmienu sheyesh sheichmiru ad shetinishmi, v'yesh shehikilu bazeh. And why does it cite the Gemara afterwards? Not to tell you the halacha is you can't sleep 60 breaths, but rather to teach you there are some people who are machmir to this extent. There are some people like Abaye who are more mekil. There are some people who said you can sleep this length. But certainly the Gemara indicates, you would say, and the way that the Torah writes it is not that there's an isser to sleep more than 60 breaths according to the Torah. Rather, lo ya'arichba, don't take a long nap, because it's unnecessary, it's wrong, etc., etc., etc. But the halacha of Shita Nishmi is not cited as halacha by the Torah. However, Aval divrei Rabbeinu HaBeit Yosef timuim. Says, but the truth is, Shulchan Aruch, I don't get it. I don't understand. V'kasha minale ister zed, de harambam lohevi zeklal. He says, what is the source of the Beis Yosef? The Rambam doesn't bring this as halacha. V'gam atur lo katav isur al zed, the Torah didn't write it. V'atur diktek bidvarav kemoshe katavnu. We just explained that the Torah specifically didn't say that this was the halacha. V'ech katav al ze lashon isur, b'madimukach me'ashas lehedya de'abaye lo asakein. Says, how can he write, how can Shulchan Aruch write that this is prohibited? You have a Gemara saying that Abaye didn't do this. You're telling me Abaye, you know, did an Avera? You know, the point is that the Gemara is citing the story of Abaye for a reason. It could be to tell us that sleeping during the day for long hours is a bad thing. But also, he's assuming that it shows that this was not a universally accepted and agreed upon halacha, certainly not for people in our day and age. Okay? V'tzarech lomar, we must say, d'svirlei l'Rabbeinu HaBeit Yosef, d'in kan machloket klal, v'gam abaye model hazeh, ela d'svirlei hakol lefi mashuhu adam. Says, rather, we're forced to say that when it comes to the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, nobody disagrees according to him. And everybody holds, everybody agrees, that it depends on the person in question. Abaye was someone at the time of the Gemara who wasn't able to get enough sleep just in his 60 breaths, so he had to sleep longer. Right? Rabbeinu HaBeit Yosef katav lemishte briyutoch azakav yachol listapek b'shitinishmi. And the Shulchan Aruch was written saying that you can't sleep more than 60 breaths for someone who that is fitting for. When the Beis Yosef writes it, it's an example. On the other hand, he says, mikol makom lo haya listoma dvarim. Says, on the other hand, this is a nice explanation, but you got to write it. You got to be more clear then. Right? V'tzarech iyun gadol. And he leaves it with a big question. He says, we really need to look into this. And then a quick note about what should you say and what should you do after you wake up. V'achar she'yor mishnato ein tzarech levarech birkat elokai neshama. You do not say elokai neshama. Din ze rak baboker. V'yesh omrim she'yikra kodim she'yishan b'yom v'hinoa mishum azikin. They don't say vihinoam before you go to sleep. You don't say elokai neshama after you wake up. These are some of the halachos, also in regards to hand washing. You can see the halachos here if you look them up. If you're looking for practical guidance on this, we do see a number of poskim that actually say, again, sort of everybody knows themselves the best. On the other hand, if you can ask a shayla about this is a serious topic, you know. It's in Shulchan Aruch. It's not a joke like we might think. You know, certainly, I don't think there will be that many poskim that you sort outlawed and say, yeah, you can't sleep more than 3 minutes ever during the day. People may look at it Rosh Hashanah time. You know, you're not supposed to sleep on a Yom HaDin. People may look at it, you know, as a general rule, not wasting your time sleeping during the day. But again, certainly ask your local Orthodox rabbi for psak. And I hope that this gives an insight both on a little bit what the Torah thinks about sleeping in general, even at night, as well as daytime naps. Thank you.